Hi and welcome to the Only Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damien.
That was Douglas. What? Damien just killed him.
No. I'm confused. Did I just die?
Yes, you did.
He's
so
he's been drinking.
What?
I know this doesn't play well on the radio, but he is drinking.
I'm drinking too. Hi.
I think you passed that one.
I didn't know what else to say.
Hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast.
Hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Andrew.
Okay.
Whoa, let's get past all these awkward points and just move on. What did we watch this week? I actually didn't watch that much.
You only watched like 20 movies.
Only like 20 movies.
Exactly.
I watched Shutter Island, which was awesome. Like,
I feel a Scorsese bias.
No, there are Scorsese movies that I don't like. I've made it.
Name one.
Mean Streets.
Sorry.
Well, that's because you're retarded. Name another one.
I haven't seen that one, so still.
I know there's another one.
I need to hear this.
I can't think of the name right
now. Damn right.
When I rewatched Gangs of New York, I didn't like it that much.
I know, I told you that. But you were like, no, this movie's awesome. Just like you on that fucking boxing movie.
I love Raging Bull. Leave me alone.
I'm sorry, sir.
He doesn't like Raging Bull.
Wait. Excuse me.
I don't really like it. It's not entertaining.
How I do not podcast?
You know, back to what I was saying before we kill each other before the podcast has gone 10 minutes. I watched Shutter Island. I watched Shutter Island, and the movie is amazing. Like, it's not the typical Scorsese film at all. Even Cape Fear.
Wait, stop. Who's the lead actor?
DiCaprio.
I was going to go this room. Is it a broken narrative?
No.
I wasn't going to ask that. But is it a thriller?
Yes. Uh-huh. Name another thriller other than Cape Fear that he did.
Departed.
And who was the lead actor in that one?
I can't remember.
So again.
Taxi Girl.
All right. I know the answer when I asked Douglas. Or Damien, have you watched Shutter Island?
No, I have not.
Okay, then shut the fuck up.
I'm waiting for it to come out in glorious HD so I can watch it properly. How was it in HD?
Shutter Island is not the typical Scorsese film.
Was it in...
No, it wasn't in digital.
Oh, wait, that's right. Fucking Alice is out.
Yeah. What the fuck was I talking about?
Shutter Island.
It is not the best Scorsese film of
Which
all
one
time.
Is that?
He's going to set it apart.
Raging Bull. I'm sorry, I love that movie. That is my favorite Scorsese film.
You just don't get tired of me running like. Alright.
So if I said The Departed, I'd be less wrong?
You'd be less wrong.
What's the right answer?
Taxi Driver.
Douglas has a funny story about Taxi Driver.
He doesn't like Taxi Driver?
Let's ask him. Douglas,
sir?
What do you think about Taxi Driver?
Excuse me, sir.
Do you know...
I'm drinking.
The second-hand story since Douglas isn't telling it.
Here's how it goes, right? So, I went to the DVD store. So I went to Target. And you know, Target has this huge set of DVDs, and I was like, okay, I just got my DVD player maybe I don't know a couple of months before, and I was like, ooh, DVDs, must get DVDs, and somebody said to me that Taxi Driver is really good. I was like, okay, well, it's only like $10 or $12. Sure, I'll get it. I got it, and I put it in, and I watched it.
And he takes
Hang
a drink.
On, And I immediately hated it. So much so that I gave it to my roommate for free. And I no longer own it.
What Taxi Driver are you talking about? Not the one that come on HBO, a taxi cab. That's not what we're talking about.
I think there was this weird guy, Bob De Niro or something like that.
And there's a Jodie Foster somewhere. There's,
yeah, some Judith or Judith Foster.
Do you realize that you're going to hell for saying it?
No, to tell you the truth, when I was... I haven't seen it since then. I can definitely attest to really not liking Raging Bull. Right. But this movie is different because this movie... Back then, I was into different things. And so now I could totally see myself...
Young and stupid.
Yeah, exactly. I could totally
young
see
and
myself.
Stupid. It's first year of college.
So, I'm not sure.
I was young and stupid. First year of college. I don't understand.
That's a long time ago. That's 5 + 4 is 9 years ago.
Yes, but you're old enough to know right from wrong.
Should have been. Clearly, that was not the case. You need to watch that movie again. I cannot sit here. I mean, what that movie is... Never. Right, so back to Shutter Island. So you love it.
Yes, I love it.
I hear that towards the middle, it starts getting kind of out there.
Personally, I think the plot and the story, everything about that aspect of the film is perfect.
Okay.
They handled everything about it. The only problem that people would have, and definitely you're going to have watching the movie, is, as you know, you can see the twist coming from a mile away.
Exactly what it's going to
be. We spoke about it when we saw the trailer. I hope I'm not giving it away for anyone who cares that much. You're right. going to happen.
Yeah, we pretty much got that from the trailer.
However, what I really loved about it in all of these kinds of films, when you watch it, is the execution, and especially when that twist happens.
Why? Stop listening to the.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just remembered you had a bad day. I'll leave you alone. what was the fuck? When that twist comes, how they handle explaining the character and making you know exactly one way or another what's happening, because a lot of films with this kind of story and twist coming, they love to leave it in a sense of ambiguity for people to decide one way or another which one you like better. Lots of arguments get started and everything, and I mean, that's good every once in a while, but I was so happy to see one which gave you a concrete answer and handled how they answered that question so well.
Like a brick wall.
So what movie would you compare to? What is it most like?
I can't even think of anything right now.
Beverly Hills Chihuahua? Sorry.
Right, so
are you smoking weed today at work?
You must have been smoking crack. What else have you seen?
I love the
drug. I saw Alice in Wonderland at the theater in 3D.
Tim Burton's greatest movie.
Hell's
Tim
no.
Burton's great movie.
Like, it's not, I don't think it's as bad as everyone is making it out to be, but it's not a good movie. It's not a great film.
Who said it was bad?
If you go on the internet,
I know, I've seen
you'll find a lot of people saying it's bad.
Many are reviewed.
first of all,
the Alice in Wonderland that I remember. No shit.
No, I mean, the story, the idea of the continuation, you know, the 10 years later or however much longer later that she's coming back to the land, I like that. I like seeing all of these characters again, and it reminded me how I've kind of forgotten the original. Like, I know the characters are there, but I don't remember exactly what happened. No, the movie. The animated movie. The one in 51 by Disney. Are there any questions you have left, Douglas? Would you like to drink your Guinness?
No, I'm just kind of subtly pointing out that the Disney movie probably was nothing near to this.
I know, but we're talking about film.
But that's not.
Yeah, but movies been ruining books since the beginning.
You're not wearing that shirt today.
I'm pretty sure that at some point when I was younger, I saw Alice in Wonderland, but I cannot remember anything about Alice in Wonderland.
I just remember the characters.
The only thing I know, the only connection I have to it is the YouTube remix.
I love that song.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I remember that. Right. That was kind of awesome. Yeah.
Right, that's all the connections I have. So hopefully, that movie will speak more to me than to people who clearly hold the Disney cartoon in such high regard that they couldn't see past a lot of the. But I hear that the movie, like, the plot isn't that strong.
No, it's not that strong. However, I like it for the fact that they didn't remake the film. They actually dared to make something more of the characters. And that's really nice. However, on a side note, this is one of those films that were converted to 3D rather than filmed in it. And post-Avatar, yes, I'm sorry I'm mentioning it again.
You kind of have to. It's a benchmark.
Yeah, it's a benchmark. You can see the differences in a film that's being filmed in 3D like Avatar and a film being converted to 3D. And it's not a good difference. It felt really flat as a film for a 3D movie.
Just like Up?
No, not just like Up.
Up was really flat. It was really... I mean, serious now, right? Up
yeah.
was weird because it didn't actually look three-dimensional. What it looked like was a bunch of two-dimensional objects in three dimensions.
It was just this layer of flat one.
Yeah, essentially.
I don't know if it's that, you know, post-Avatar is different. Because you remember I was really happy with the
yeah,
Up 3D. But I don't know if it's just me post-Avatar being different.
Avatar has raised the game.
Yeah, 3D-wise. I mean, it especially showed... In scenes where it was none, there was no real CG characters, where we were not in Wonderland, kind of like in the first 10 minutes. And those were the moments where it was really slow and kind of like you felt really odd about the movie. You're like, okay. And also, I found it quite odd. I don't remember, as I said, I don't remember much about the first movie. I don't remember, but it felt quite odd to see the Mad Hatter as, I'm guessing, a Scotsman. I didn't know he was Scottish, and it just felt kind of odd when Johnny Depp just broke into like his heavy Scottish accent.
He's not Scottish, he's kind of Jack.
Something tells me you're going
this
to be annoying today.
Really, we should get him. We should lay him down and let him sleep off the Guinness. This is getting ridiculous.
But I've only had
to... Shut up.
Also, what else can I mention? I didn't watch any other movies worth mentioning. I've caught up with Lost. And as much as Damien doesn't want to hear this...
Like anything you said.
The show is amazing. It makes almost... It makes perfect sense. So far.
I'm going to say something.
Right.
And this is something that I overheard him saying while he was talking to other Lost fans.
Right.
Which Lost fans do
okay.
I talk to?
Okay. No, you said that it makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
This coming from the same man who described... parallel universes in Lost. Apparently there is a parallel universe.
In season 6
parallel universe plus perfect sense.
So what I found out, because Lost fans don't shut up about anything, is that there were flashbacks, then there were flash forwards. And
like
just just to keep things interesting, there is no flash sideways. I said, "I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Yeah.
All right.
What did you just say?
All right. If you guys
last week, before you talk.
Okay.
Last week, he was watching whatever episode that he was watching, and I started asking questions like, "What the hell is that? What the hell is that? Why are they here?" And I was met with answers like, "I don't know." Oh, that's God. I'm sorry, did you just say that's God? Why is God walking? God is a smoke monster. Oh, okay.
Did he have a tail?
And they're like, "No, yeah, but you have to watch up." And then, of course, the defense is, you have to watch all of it to understand. Right. Right. 6 seasons. To understand. That's his
How much of The Wire did you watch? How many times?
The Wire, I understood The Wire from the from the go. Right. What are you talking about?
Anyway, let's not talk about Lost.
I like it a lot.
Far The Wire.
Also, I spent a lot of my week catching up with Mad Men. I was watching season 3. Continues to be a great show. It's kind of amazing now that the shift is now that Sterling Cooper is now under new management. They were bought by the British company at the end of season 2. And now they're dealing with all of their issues and done.
Spoiler.
Fuck you.
That's ruined this entire series.
I know, what the crap.
Sons of bitches.
Even though I totally knew that because I caught like a half a 15 minutes of what he was watching.
If that was enough to ruin the series, then it can't be that good. Or they were bought by another company. Oh shit, son.
Characters remain totally relevant. I love Peggy Olson and Don Draper are just doing amazing for it. I mean,
relevant
it's a
relevant to today, I mean?
Relevant in the show, like episode to episode. It's like when people keep saying it's one of the greatest shows on TV. No, I kind of agree with them at this point.
What?
Why do you disagree?
Yes.
What is the one? What is the greatest TV show on TV now?
Paul Mitty Mother. Hands down.
I swear he was going to say Chuck, but you know.
Actually, no. I was going to like try and think of like the worst show ever.
Yeah. Oh, so Chuck.
Of
course. Andrew. And that's it.
What have you been watching, Damien?
Okay, so I watched Observe and Report.
You do the same thing as me now.
I saw Observe and Report with Seth Rogen and
Ray Liotta.
Yeah, Ray Liotta, Anna Faris, and Michael Pena, who, by the way, was stellar in this movie. Like, absolutely remarkable.
He was fun.
I mean,
especially
he's just so good from start. Like, the supporting cast in this movie was outstanding. Like, Seth Rogen, played, this kind of.
Hadn't you watched this movie before?
No, I have not.
Oh, you were avoiding it because of Jodie Hill?
No.
Jodie Hill. Oh, wait, sorry. The director.
Yeah,
I'm
director.
Like, Jodie? Who's Jodie, isn't
it? No, I was waiting for a good
copy.
Jonah?
Oh, okay.
Waiting for a good. I mean, the movie's a funny, funny movie. And, it would have been sort of average if it wasn't for Michael Pena. He was just so good, he elevated the...
No, I thought it was still kind of average. I mean, I liked
it.
I knew that, but
it
was like, nah.
No, it's not a movie at all. But I'd watch it again. If only just to see Michael Pena, because he's just so good. Yeah. He's just so good. Also, despite my better judgment, I watched a Heather Graham movie, Baby on Board.
I kind of like her though, but
wasn't she the one in Anchorman? Was she?
No, that's Christina Applegate.
Oh,
Heather Graham is in. She's in that movie that's really money.
Swingers.
She's in a lot of bad movies.
Yeah, she's in a lot of horrible.
She made very a money. Few cameos in Scrubs. So Baby on Board is about Heather Graham's character, who she's an exec at some perfume company, and she's bringing out a new line of perfume for pregnant mothers. Yes, I tell you, it's so funny.
Does it make people want to have sex with them? No, not really. They're ugly? Is that what it is?
Are you talking about Sex Panther?
What?
Wow, an Anchorman reference. Jesus Christ. Right. So back to Baby on Board. And,
what is Sex Panther?
It's
I have, but a long time ago.
It's a cologne that Paul Rudd pulls out halfway through the movie. And it's like,
it's illegal in 6 countries.
Oh, yeah. And Applegate comes in and she's like, it smells like piss in here. Yeah.
Oh, never. He opens the Panther roars. Ridiculous.
It totally made everyone laugh.
Paul Rudd is hilarious.
Right. So Heather Graham gets pregnant, and there is a lot of confusion as to.
So, not only is she
the president,
she's a client too.
Not
so. No, I lost track of the plot. Does pregnancy have something to do with this?
Not. Yeah. So there's a lot of confusion as to. Who is the father and all sorts of money. None of that is important. What is important is that the director realized that this plot is boring as all hell, and decided to insert jokes at every single turn. He found a way to make this boring plot as funny as possible. The movie is still mediocre, but it's still funny. I mean, there is essentially a bunch of sketches thrown together, wrapped around this weak narrative, but they keep the pace up. And I mean, it's clear that men directed this movie because they took every opportunity to laugh at stupid shit. But it's basically American Pie with a pregnant woman. That's basically what it came out to.
Pregnant women are funny.
Back when it was funny.
I actually don't remember how funny that was, okay. So I'm meh to your comment.
I also saw a big fan, Pan Oswalt. You've seen this movie?
Seen it, I didn't like it at all.
I mean, what didn't you like? I mean, I don't understand.
Like,
there's nothing.
There's nothing to dislike, but at the same time, I never felt like there was anything to truly like about the movie. I get what it was saying, but it just felt bland. It felt like they were like, all right, we're making this story. What would be the normal thing to do? I know it's all about the character, but let's keep it so uninteresting as we're moving along. I can compare how bland it was to Amelia, how bland Amelia is when I watched that movie. I felt... Douglas. Schnozberries.
Wow. I think it's time for me to go home. See, you know, he's your brother, just remember that. Right, but I mean, what was the story that they told? Was about this loser, essentially. What did you expect was going to happen in the movie?
Menacing angles again, I see.
What the hell is going on in this film?
Jack, not Amelie, Amelia, the movie about Amelia Earhart with Hilary Swank. Not Amelie.
Amelie is good.
Awesome.
Yeah, I love Amelie. He's saying that I'm hating on Amelie.
Why are you hating on Amelie, Andrew?
Shut up.
Bastard.
This is crazy.
Seriously, did you smoke something earlier? When you left work, did you smoke something?
He's been sniffing.
Felt boring.
But haven't you met guys like that before? Like the super fans? Well,
no, I haven't. Not really.
Right, so I've met people like that.
I've met people who are blind faith, but nothing that goes that far.
Haven't you been to the stadium in Jamaica playing football? There's many of them that they're just so beholden to Jamaica. I mean, but the movie, it accomplished what it set out to accomplish. And Pan Oswalt, he kept it interesting. He did a service of the job. He didn't, show anything that makes me go, well, this youth could be our next great actor or whatever. But he's, for a comedian, he definitely played the role well, I guess. And
I liked Michael Rapaport in it.
Yeah, but he was only in it.
I liked him.
Kevin Corrigan, he was his best friend.
Oh, okay. I know him, I've seen him in a lot of movies, but I always forget his name.
Right. He was in Pineapple Express.
Yeah.
He was in Superbad. He was also in The Departed. Remember him from The Departed. The movie was average.
He was in Nick and Nora.
Yes, he was. Alright, and then I watched one absolutely abysmal movie.
Do we have to talk about it?
No, I'm not going to tell you. That Beat Slap.
Really? Was it bad?
From I saw the trailer, I could tell that movie was going to be bad.
I thought it was going to be, good kind of bad.
Though. Right. But
was there enough tits and ass to make up for it?
It is the spirit kind of bad.
Oh,
no.
Nice.
So there are no tits and ass?
No, there is a lot of... the movie's us. Let me... 5 minutes in, you'll be going, these guys know what they're doing. They're on the right path. And then 10 minutes in, you're like, jeez, this was a mistake.
So what you're saying is I should just watch the first 5 minutes
and
stop.
Like, if you watch the first 5 minutes, you go, wow, these guys are mocking the shit out of Tarantino and Rodriguez. This is hilarious. And then, like, the next 5 minutes, they're like, wow. What the...
They ran out of jokes.
What the hell? It just gets progressively worse and worse. And like, by the half an hour, man, don't shut it. If you even make it to half an hour, don't shut it up. You don't need to see anything. It is really, really... I don't know how people get this shit greenlit. I went on Box Office Mojo, one of those, and they're like, it costs like $10 million to make. You know what I could do with $10 million?
I'd give it to garbage. Duncan Jones. That's what I would do.
So that he can make another terrible movie?
Duncan what? Jones.
Oh, no, you serious? Oh, that's good to see. Funny how that works. It's not so funny now, is it? Tell that to Raging Bull and Taxi Driver. Son of a bitch.
Okay.
Oh, Parnassus comes out in, I think, a week on Blu-ray.
On Blu-ray, does it? Guess how long it's going to take to come out.
By the way, I went to Alice in Wonderland. First time I've seen them play a trailer. It wasn't for Wednesday, though.
Shocking. Also, the Blu-ray is going to beat them.
I saw them play a trailer for Everybody's Fine, which came out on DVD like a month ago.
What happens is they wait for all these movies to come out on Blu-ray so they can just put it in and play it straight from.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. I like that plan.
Anyways, Douglas, what were you watching this week?
I think it's probably cheaper to like do that.
No, actually, I think that's probably more expensive.
Okay, anyway, what have I watched this week? Not much. Two movies I really want to talk about. One, I had to watch. There was no way I was not going to watch this movie. It's called Slammin' Salmon.
Yes, I saw your tweet about Slammin' Salmon.
Whoa, wait.
Buzz, it showed up on the buzz.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, did you sign up for Twitter? Sign up for Twitter!
Why? So I can see shitty tweets like that. As Douglas pitched and moaned about his his thesis, I know it's hard.
But you're reading Google Buzz, though.
It shows up in the inbox.
Can you turn it off?
No, you can't. I don't think.
So I have the system Google notifier thing, and whenever one comes up, it pops up in the side of the corner with the message. There's watching a movie and this giant thing pops up. I should turn it off, but I can't. But...
Uh-huh. Anyway, yes, I saw Simon Salmon.
Is it as good as it is supposed to be?
Supposed to be?
Yes.
What do you
These
mean
are the same
to be?
Guys that did.
Well, no, it's not. But the thing is, did you watch the trailer?
Yes.
What did the trailer look like to you?
It looked funny.
Really?
Yes, it did.
Okay, it looked slightly bad.
It looked pretty horrible to me.
The dude punched
a swordfish.
But anyway, well, it looked
dominated. He dominated the
trailer,
swordfish.
Dude, he punched a swordfish.
I know. That's awesome. And to tell you the truth, I didn't mind this movie. I thought it was pretty okay. I wouldn't, rate it as one of their best or really that good. Excuse me. Overall, but there was one really funny joke because first of all, Robin from How I Met Your Mother, isn't it?
Okay.
And
yeah, I saw her in the trailer.
Yeah, I didn't actually know that she was in it. I didn't realize it from the trailer, and I thought it was so funny that she actually, her last line in the movie was something along the lines of, "This is legendary."
Oh no. Can't get to that in news. Never mind. No, I'm not bring it up now.
Okay.
All right. And one other movie that I watched.
Before you get to that, I'd like to talk about a certain occurrence that happened in this house in the past week, related to your Slammin' Salmon. We all got together and we sat down and watched a certain Broken Lizard film called Super Troopers this week. Me, Douglas, and the two Michelles sat down and we watched this movie. And a certain thing happened, Douglas. Would you like to tell them what happened?
No.
No, you don't want to tell them.
Fuck you.
About 40 minutes into the movie, there was a shout from the majority of the room, "Take the movie out. This movie sucks." And you want to know who was the one who didn't say that? It was Douglas.
So you also You're not a Super Troopers fan?
I already told you. I kind of like it, but it's nowhere near as good as Beer Fest, as far as I'm concerned.
Jesus Christ.
I don't know.
Does he not realize that even though I love Beer Fest, I own Super Troopers? You know, that's how you can tell the difference. Mm-hmm. Okay, what else I watched? I watched what I think is a fantastic movie. Not anywhere.
Was it Raging Bull?
That is the bird, by the way, for all of you people who do not see.
That plays so well on the radio.
Exactly. No. I saw a movie along the lines of, say, Adam or 500 Days of Summer. And it was not quite of that ilk. Probably closer to Adam than it is to 500 Days of Summer. Pete and Vandy. And it was, I thought, really good. It's weird. First of all, the music is fantastic, but that really doesn't have anything to do with the movie. But that's like an added bonus. But what like really got me was it was a non-linear film, so it was all over the place. You know, one scene, you know, they're just meeting. Another scene, they're like, you know, a year in. Another scene, they're a couple of weeks
in. Was there a tree growing on them?
No.
Could we edit that in ourselves?
I think we could, yes.
So I guess the question that we're waiting to ask about this, because this is never going to die. Damon has birthed this idea, which I love. How does it rate on the Gilliamometer?
I would say on the Gilliamometer. Or should we just call it a Gilliamometer?
Vote. I like the original. Okay. Gilliamometer.
Because
it's odd enough already.
Exactly. Right. I would say maybe anywhere between an 8 and a 9. I really did like this
9G, that's not bad.
Yeah. because it was, like I said, it was, you know, a bit of a broken narrative. And it just, it takes a while to like kind of get your sea legs, because of course anything like that, you're kind of like, wait, what? What's happening? How did you go from here to there and then back? But then you realize what he's doing, and then you kind of get into the flow of things and you see what he's trying to say, and it just, it works very well. And it's, I mean, nobody in this movie is like a big actor, but they play their parts, they play their roles.
Okay,
very well.
So it's not poor editing.
No, it's not poor. Yeah, exactly. They did it on purpose. And, you know, it's just like, you know, you look at it, the story and the people in the story really draw you in. And that's what I think is the sign of a really good movie, when I can just watch it and be like, you know, there were times when you kind of look at it and you're like, fucking asshole. You realize, wait a second, this is not the real person. Why am I feeling this, you know, this sort of emotional response to this film? And that's, you know, good movie type.
You sure you weren't drunk at the time?
No, I was not drunk at the time.
That you can remember.
That I can remember. That's true.
It's usually how blackout drunks work.
Yeah, we should know. We just saw a trailer about those guys.
Yes, we did.
Successful ones, yes. But no, really good movie. Also, on a side note, the music, like, I know I said the music was good, but no, the music was so good that I heard the Animal Collective in there. And Animal Collective is awesome. Yes, love them. Anyway.
And with that, we'll move into the news.
Hey, first bit of news, the Dr. Horrible movie.
Oh, you want to talk about that? Because, okay.
It's going to be a movie.
Yes.
Is it official?
Yes. Yeah,
or is it that they're just talking about the fact that they want it to be a movie?
I think it's official.
Because I haven't read anything official.
I haven't read it properly because, you know, I've been doing various other things. But I do remember seeing something about Dr. Horrible and feature film.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm thumbs up. It's a musical, Joss Whedon, Neil Patrick Harris, and it's Dr. Horrible again. I'm thumbs up.
All we need is a writer's strike for it to work. So yeah, I want to see it. Douglas wants to see it. Andrew Carey, because people are singing and dancing like crazy. still don't understand.
Okay, other news that came out this week. Mission Impossible 4 rumors are coming out. In talks to direct the film, they're talking about Ruben Fleischer, the guy who did Zombieland. They're talking about Brad Bird, the guy who did The Incredibles and Ratatouille, as well as Edgar Wright to direct Mission Impossible
Edgar
4.
Wright. You know what's funny? He actually made a tweet the other day that it said something along the lines, I really love my job, but making a movie nowadays is kind of like baking a surprise birthday cake with the kitchen door wide open.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I thought that was really funny because the whole internet thing, you know almost everything of a movie, like, before it's even gone into production. And so that's clearly what he was talking about. So maybe he is the man for Mission Impossible 4. And he's like, God damn it, they know already.
They can blow a few on the reps.
J.J. Abrams is awesome about that. But anyways, like, pick of the litter. Who would you have direct MI4? Is it any of these three or any other authors?
Is Chris Nolan available?
No, he's busy.
He's working on.
Like, you're not allowed to pick. You're not allowed to pick your favorite. So no Chris Nolan, no Gilliam, Tarantino for me.
Do you hear what this idiot is saying?
No, you're not allowed.
First he says, if you had to pick up the litter.
No, because
then he says, except you can't pick your favorite. Andrew, do you understand what the phrase pick of the litter means?
Yeah, but you guys are just going to throw bias into the equation like David. You're not going to be like, I want Chris Nolan to move because...
You know what? I want Michel Gondry. If I can't have Michel Gondry, I'll take Charlie Kaufman.
I can't give you that because he made friggin' that night. That's because... Jacques Snyder, he doesn't have anything. He's doing some shitty Eagle movie. Sure, he's not busy. Can't do this. I don't know. So the three right there, couldn't care less. I don't like Mission Impossible.
Like, not even the last one by J.J. Abrams?
I thought I liked them at one point, and then I went back and I watched
them. Well, we all know 2 is garbage, but...
Actually, John Woo nonsense is the only thing that kept me interested in too. I never said the movie was good, son. Relax. The third one was kind of lame. I mean, he was fighting a criminal that
was kind of awesome.
He was fighting a criminal that wasn't really a criminal, like the worst bad guy in history. It's like 900 pounds overweight.
I wouldn't mind.
What in God's name? What the hell kind of criminal is that? What kind of final showdown was that going to be? And some chick that was supposed to be his wife that served no purpose but to get kidnapped.
But it's like a video game.
Was
Monahan.
Eagle Eye.
Yeah, Monahan.
Yeah, I don't want to hear it.
She was also in the Ben Affleck one. What was that? Gone Baby Gone.
Yeah, she was in Gone Baby Gone.
So she does good and bad. Look, I just didn't like the movies. John Woo nonsense was as close as it came because the dude shot a car and it blew up.
I'm sure I can find many scenes where they shot out cars
exactly,
and they blew up.
And that is why the movie just wasn't that special. Chimera and all, so I just don't like those movies. No, the first one when the dude did the thing in the safe. That's the iconic
And he prompted to do it again in each.
Right, that's the iconic bit. And then he decided, okay, I'm keep doing this shit over and over.
Did they do it in the third one?
They did it. For a moment, when he went over the Vatican wall.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Because I know they did it in the second one. I was just like, okay.
John Woo has dubs. Let's be serious. The dubs are awesome.
Were there dubs in MI2?
Of course.
Yeah, they were.
There were dubs in Face Off.
He did this running up thing and back. This impossible backflip is so ridiculous. And then short.
It's all about the kick. The in the sand, the kick and the gun comes up. That's... Anyways.
Not even...
I actually like most of the MI movies. MI2 is garbage. 1 and 3 I really love. Actually, like, recently I used to think 3 was the best one, the most enjoyable, but I've been rewatching it and 1 is really my favorite. With 3 close second.
With the internet. I love how the internet looks in that movie.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, it's hilarious.
Back in the day when they could get away with that shit. We'd just be like, really? Is that how you email people?
My favorite use of the internet in any movie, hands down, swordfish. Genius. Does this green grid of nonsense spread across like 19 monitors?
And didn't you know,
cube.
Didn't you know when like, he was writing the code and the cubes were coming together? And then you know, he made one mistake and the cubes all blew up.
I'm like, this is amazing. Thank you, Hollywood. That's exactly how computers work.
But like for the, I'm really looking forward to the fourth film. J.J. Abrams produced, Tom Cruise coming back, but
what are they going to do? What more impossible shit are they going to? Is he going to join Ocean's 13 and make it Ocean's 4, Mission Impossible 11? I don't understand. What is he going?
However, if I had to pick one of these three directors, I actually would prefer Ruben Fleischer to do the film. I mean, I know Edgar Wright. I know Edgar Wright is like better overall, but I want to see what Zombieland do with this film, to do with this story, do with these characters and this kind of setting.
It's a Mission Impossible Thief of the Month.
It could happen.
No, it couldn't. I'm not a Mission Impossible fan.
Douglas, any thoughts?
I mean,
other than you want
talking about
Gilliam and Gondry.
Gilliam, Gondry, who else would I want? Let's see, all the names. No, to tell you the truth, I wouldn't mind if JJ came back. But we're not doing that, so.
Star Trek.
Alright, of these three.
Of these three, I think I'd go right, hands down.
What about Brad Bird?
Brad Bird can go, well, I probably shouldn't say that on the radio.
That's nice.
What about Bond 24, 5?
Which you mean Sam Mendes, 23.
Right, they've picked two pretty girls and they're going to be in the movie. But so,
I thought these were all rumors.
There are going to be pretty women in Bond, can you believe it?
Oh my goodness, really?
I've never seen what
sharp
twist.
And on to other news. Apparently,
I thought they were just going to have Judi Dench in there and just like have her like, you know, pose in the bikini.
That would be. I'd watch it. I would so watch it. And then cry all over the
place. You're like a huge fan of Sound of Music or something, aren't you? Sony Pictures wants to make a CGI 3D. Of course, they're all 3D. Popeye movie.
Okay.
Did you guys watch...
Do they know that Popeye isn't relevant anymore?
I'm sure Speed Racer was relevant.
Spinach almost killed George Bush.
I'm sure Speed Racer was relevant.
Yeah, ironic twist.
Wasn't it a pretzel?
Who cares?
There was spinach after.
Like, have you watched the Robin Williams Popeye movie?
No. Why would I do that to myself? Why?
Do you not like Robin Williams?
Sparingly. Yes. There's things that I like and things that I clearly don't like. I mean,
anything
who is this movie really appealing to? Clearly it's children, but no children, no Popeye. None of the children that we know Popeye.
Not today.
Popeye has been relevant since it wasn't even relevant when we were children.
I know Popeye.
Yes, it's because you're old. That's how it works.
Douglas doesn't like being called old.
He's just admitted that he's old. He says he remembers Popeye.
I actually really love the Robin Williams Popeye movie.
I'm sure.
Well, you're going to say it's biased. It's a music. I did love Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Are you saying you don't like Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Have you guys seen that recently?
Yes, I have.
You guys are high.
That thing is hilarious. It's...
not
like,
really.
I rewatched the movie recently, and I swear to God, watching Bob Hoskins doing that song and dance at the end of the movie is so amazing.
And you know what's even better is knowing that he was doing all that while hallucinating.
Oh, no. See it on the field.
Yes, he claims that, you know, he had visions and he was hallucinating for like months.
I'm sure Space Jam was phenomenal as well, right? Since we're going down this road. Oh no, all of a sudden we see
I remember liking that one back then, but now, no.
You're really stupid. See, you were in N1 gear. Thought you were going to be Johnny. Didn't work out like that.
No, didn't work out at all.
You should have picked up a basketball at one point.
Anyways, like, honestly, no love for Popeye in the room.
Who is it?
Children. It's a children's movie.
Oh. I guess we can do Wonder Twins and then He-Man.
Smurfs.
When they actually are Smurfs. Thank you, whoever the hell bring it. That I hope that movie makes $0.
I'm sure Tanai will go and watch it.
Wow.
Yeah, I know it. You don't know Tanai.
I hope studios that greenish shit like this get shut down. I know people are going to lose their jobs and shit, but I mean, when in my line of work, if I make bad decisions, I get fired. It's only fair that it happens to movie studios as well. When they make bad decisions, they should be fired and shut down.
That makes me sad. Anyways, another news item that came out this week. Kevin Smith's Red State got greenlit finally. I saw you shared this.
Yes.
Any thoughts?
Another Kevin Smith movie. I think he's writing this one, so it might be.
Might be good. I'm looking forward to
it. Well, it should be good since all the ones that he wrote I like.
Yeah. Except for Zach and Miri. Except for Zach and Miri. Really?
I love Clerks. Absolutely love Clerks.
Question. Mm-hmm. Clerks or Clerks 2? Which is better?
Clerks.
Still haven't decided. Like, everyone, it's kind of like The Godfather for me, like Godfather 1 and 2. I generally say I like 1 better, but like whichever one I watched last, I love more and more.
With Clerks 2, it felt like he was reaching towards the end when the donkey got introduced and thing. He went just a little bit too far with Clerks 2. But the first Clerks, I love the first. Because it's just so simple and so the dialogue is just so well done. And the relationship is so strong. It's just a really funny, fun movie. Douglas doesn't like it because it's not weird.
It doesn't fit on his Gilliam Amitam. Yeah,
sometimes we just need to play shit straight.
Only one G.
Any thoughts for you, Douglas? Kevin Smith's Red State? Oh, okay. That sounds like what we've been waiting for.
The drunken moons.
Again, Kevin Smith is writing, Kevin Smith is directing. Should probably be good. I like most of his movies.
Except Cop Out. But he didn't write that one, so we can't blame him.
Yeah, but I mean, we really shouldn't give him a free pass based on that. You know, he's still the director.
He was.
I'm pretty sure he could have found a way to creatively direct his way out of shitty.
Yeah, and he can totally be like, listen,
I want you to say that.
Well, let's change
it. I mean, having listened to a lot of the creative screenwriting podcasts, it is said many a times by all the screenwriters, and I know they're screenwriters, so they have to believe this, that no matter how good the director, a bad script is a bad script.
Yeah.
You can't direct your way.
Sam Raimi will tell you about that one.
So, I guess. But I mean, like Starship Troopers, script was terrible. movie's fun. Love that movie. It's not great, but I'm sure the director looked at the dialogue and went, "You want me to do what with what?" I'm sorry, what?
Alright. That director is officially better than Gilliam, Gondry, Tarantino, everyone of them. Chris Nolan out the water. Yeah, whoever directed Starship Troopers.
I'm sorry, Andrew, no. It's not better than Tarantino.
I'm glad you know. Anyways, any other news you guys want to talk about?
Nazis.
You gonna take off that uniform?
I thought so.
When I got a Blu-ray, I watched that movie like three times immediately. After the theater,
wrong with you.
That movie's fantastic.
No, I've seen the movie. I just haven't watched it.
I know.
I've seen it twice. I went to it twice.
Each time. Anyways, moving into trailers. Damien shared a trailer with us, Peacock.
Yes.
Oh my God!
Are you alright? You're lucky to be alive.
How do you know, John? Are you family?
I live here.
Are you his wife?
Nobody knew you got married. Congratulations.
I loved meeting your wife.
Oh, you're in my house?
About the train, just wanted to stop by and make sure everything was okay.
I need to get you and Jake out of Peacock.
I don't remember the name of the youth.
Killian Murphy,
right.
It's the second time Killian Murphy's been in drag for film.
And Ellen Page is in it too.
Yes.
As is Susan Sarandon.
Movie looks really, really good.
No shit. Kind of why I put it on the list.
Like, I don't think I knew about this movie, but I immediately went, like, step by step. I was like, some woman I don't know. Wait, no, that's Killian Murphy. And then there's Ellen Page. I really like her. It looks like a really good, like, drama thriller kind of deal.
HD thrillers, the podcast updated. I'm like, Peacock? What in God's name? I'm like, because there's a lot of trailers that come out that are god-awful. I'm like, yeah, this looks like nonsense.
Have you ever seen of those indie ones on today's trailer page?
So I'm like, IMDb, Peacock, and the first thing that came up was not that movie. Like, there's no way I'm watching this. Right? And I don't know how the trailer started playing. I'm like, wait, I know that youth. this is not the same movie. I'm like,
Scarecrow.
I was there and I watched the trailer like 4 times before I went. No, I definitely get this movie. This movie looks so good.
And it's also on DVD now.
Exactly. So I don't have to wait.
Douglas, your thoughts?
Is Killian Murphy in this trailer?
Yes.
So you like it? Let's move on.
Multiple times. Ellen Page is also in it.
No, I don't need Ellen Page. I love Ellen, but once there's Killian, there is, you know, bias immediately.
He's very. Yes. There's some movie with that guy who was very friendly with the rats that came up.
Oh no, I don't.
Willard.
That's Willard. The guy from Back to the Future. What's his name again?
Stoltz?
He's crazy. No.
No.
The crazy man. He was the father, Martin McFly's father.
Oh, I don't know his name.
I soon tell you what his name is. Oh boy.
But Murphy reminds me of him.
He kind of has that look to him. Anyway, since Douglas won't remember for now, the next trailer on our list is The Switch.
I would like you to be the first to know I'm having a baby.
You're pregnant?
Not yet, but I'm working on it.
A party for insemination?
Only Cassie would do it like this.
I'm Roland, the donor.
Well, I'm Cassie's best friend.
Oh, that's okay.
What's wrong with my sperm, by the way?
You're a little neurotic.
You had your window with Cassie and you doomed it. She put you in the friend zone.
So who does this?
Will you relax? This is how everybody's doing it these days.
Shouldn't that be cleaned or something?
I'm messing with you.
It's time for me to leave.
It's the newest Jennifer Aniston and Jason Bateman rom-com.
What's the first name you called a while ago?
Jennifer
Aniston,
yes.
And it's a romantic comedy.
Yes.
Like the 900 she put out every year.
Yes.
And how many of those are actually good? You don't know, because you don't watch any of them. So why are we talking about
actually, I watched Love Happens a while back.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't talk about it because I didn't want to admit it.
I'm sure it was fascinating.
I'm sure.
Did you watch Friends with Money? That was
yes,
awesome.
I did.
And that was so good, wasn't
it? Of course it was.
Okay. Then... as long as we were using that kind of logic, this trailer looked awesome. Jason Bateman combed in a cup, and now Jennifer Aniston had his baby. That's hilarious.
Wouldn't it be Kim?
Couldn't care less.
No, I think there needs to be a separation between cum and cum.
And cum.
So one came to the store, but one combed in a cup.
Okay. That's our ruling.
The trailer looks terrible. Movie looks terrible. Jason Bateman will help.
Like, I know we've had our hang-ups with Jason Bateman in film.
No,
like,
I've had the same
hang-ups. I mean, on occasion he's been good, but generally not really. But it actually looks like he could be really good in this movie. And I like Jeff Goldblum. He's in it.
Him being good won't save the movie. Aniston is in it. She's guaranteed mediocrity. Stamp. It won't be good. You know it won't be good. Why are we pretending? Alright. If it is actually half decent, I'll buy the Blu-ray and keep it. I put it on the wall.
Yeah, so and you have to buy the poster.
Right. I'm going to tear down the Dark Knight and the Cloverfield posters and put it there. Right?
Okay. Douglas, any thoughts on the Switch?
Who's in this again?
Let's move on. The last trailer I want to talk about is Nimrod Antal's Predators trailer came out.
All of a sudden there was a light, and then I was falling.
Who are you?
I was supposed to be executed 2 days ago.
And I was in combat. So was I.
Black Ops.
Yakuza.
We need to work as a team.
Does this look like a team-orientated group of individuals to you?
Yes, his name is Nimrod.
Speaking about terrible truths.
What?
Did this guy say orientated? Really? Really, Andrew?
Yes. Machete said orientated. Damien, no.
So, long, long ago, far, far away.
In a galaxy far, far away.
Some dude made some movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger. And this was before Schwarzenegger could act. It was when he was just a giant muscle that held a gun.
And it was awesome.
And it was awesome.
Oh, man. So
incredibly awesome.
I bought the Blu-ray just the other day.
So it is so phenomenal, right?
I couldn't pull out my DVD, but it's too much.
The Predator was phenomenal. Everything about that movie is great.
Did you watch the second one, by the way?
Yes.
What do you think?
For years, I hated Danny Glover.
Oh, boy. For years.
Do you know, I don't think I've seen the entire of the second movie.
There's a reason.
I always catch it at the end and I see like the last 10 minutes.
Predator in the city. So stupid and it's so lame. So it looks like they said, oh, we're out of ideas here. There's no more books that we can make. All the comic books have been optioned off. And all the music video directors are busy doing other shit. So we need to go back to the well. Oh look, Karate Kid is already taken. Maybe we should ruin another childhood memory for people that grew up in the 80s. What's that you said? Predator?
Of course. Totally. Let's hand it to Robert Rodriguez.
We've ruined Aliens, we've ruined Jason, and we've ruined Freddy Krueger. At this point, all that is left is the Predator.
You have no hope for the new Freddy Krueger?
No, not really.
Well, okay.
What I've realized is that those movies aren't for adults.
But Rorschach is in it.
Yeah, no, I understand. But those movies are only scary to children. When you were young and you saw those movies, because you should have seen those movies, you're afraid and your feeble brain couldn't process that it wasn't real, right? I think they should tone down the gore in some of those movies and the sex and market it to children. Try and get the PG-13 rating so that children can go and get scared. Adults don't get scared when they go to those movies. All they do is try crazy and crazier shit. They try making it more gory or making it as ridiculous as possible, throwing a lot of sex scenes and when was the last time you saw one of those run of the mill horror movies that you were legitimately scared by? It just doesn't happen. Because you're adult, you know that's not real. That's not real. And if it were to happen to me, I'd get a gun and shoot him like his body instead of running up and down like a crazy person. So I'm literally, and it doesn't help that Lawrence Fishburne is in this movie. And he was in Armored.
Your favorite
Armored?
I saw that. I went to the theater to watch that movie. Nimrod directed Armored.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
The same guy directed Armored.
Oh, the same guy.
The same guy who directed Armored.
But he also did direct Control, and that's a pretty well like.
And he also directed Vacancy, which was shite.
Alright, so he did Control. So he did his one good. That was the British.
Yeah, the British one.
So he did his
one.
Is
it sure? You sure it's a British one?
I think it's the British one. It's even spelled with a K. I'm pretty sure it's the same one.
And then he.
Which Control are you talking about? The one about the musician?
Yeah.
I don't think it's that one, you know. I think it's a different control. It's spelled with a K, this
one. Yeah, with a K.
Control, that one's spelled with a C, I think.
Right.
So it's a different control, but it's a movie that apparently everyone loves.
All right, so I guess I need to see that so that I can stop ragging on this youth. Maybe I can.
But he's directed Vacancy, which I hated.
Yeah,
Aramad was.
I mean, I'd give anybody a pass as long as they do a good movie. I can say, yeah, he did all of this nonsense, but maybe one day I'll get back to that.
So. Yeah, it's like, you know, Guillermo del Toro. He did.
Wow,
Blade
why are we
2, have... which was total nonsense, so he could do, you know, what was the name of that movie, Hellboy? Hellboy was so good.
Throwing a lot of stuff today. Hellboy 2 was awesome.
I'm just joking.
Personally, the Predators trailer...
I'm totally going to watch
it. I actually kind of dug this trailer for Predators. I mean, I get all of your complaints. It's there. I mean, when I first heard about the project, and worse, the director was attached to it, and I saw Armored, I was like, oh, this movie has no chance. Adrian Brody is no Arnold Schwarzenegger. I thought it was going to be a hand-for-hand remake.
No, I think...
But...
Lawrence Fishburne is the Arnold in this movie. Clearly.
But, and
Danny Glover at the same time. That's how Brody...
Isn't Adrian Brody supposed to be Arnold?
I'm sorry, what? The guy that was in The Pianist?
Yeah. No, and I'm Machinist. Sorry. Did you see him in The Machinist?
Yes, I have seen him.
He was in that movie?
Oh, sorry, Ratted. Oh,
that was Bale.
Yeah, Bale. Whoops.
Like, which role was Brody?
What are you talking about? Brody played Bale.
Okay. He like cut off his nose.
Yeah.
Right. So you liked when they were all on the island and they
it
said
felt like Lost
they,
all over
they
again.
Said something that no one in that position would ever say. This is a we're being hunted. Like, we're the prey. I'm like, what the? Who would say that? How did you come to that conclusion? Genius.
But it's the same thing they said in the first
How
Predator
are you going
movie.
To kill them? Any way you can. Oh.
If they can bleed, we can kill it.
Oh.
Yes. If they can bleed, we can kill it.
But Arnold Schwarzenegger is not. This is what you're forgetting.
So all you need is for them to pretend like they can't act, and then we're on the same plane.
What we need is someone that was Mr. Olympia like 9 times pretending to act. That was part of what was so awesome about Predator. You just look at Anna and you know that he couldn't act, but he was still perfect for this role.
Also, you know what, 3 out of 4 governors.
That is true.
Anyways, I like the trailer. I like that it's not a straight for hand remake. It looks like it might be alright. Okay,
there's him. And who was the third one?
I'm trying to remember the dude name. I know who you thought.
Apollo Creed was also in it, but it's not him. It's, or maybe it was 2 out of 3. Is that what it is?
No, Jesse Ventura was there. Him, yeah. And because I've heard someone say that before, but yeah. I don't remember the dude name. I mean, look, the movie's going to be bad. All right, we know this. Why are they remaking Predator? Couldn't they have come up with some other alien? Didn't they do that in The Descent? Come up with some bad creature nonsense that was eating women in a dark hole? I mean,
go and watch that movie. That movie's awesome.
Why?
Go watch
that. That scenario doesn't even make sense. Hot chicks don't spelunk.
Of course they do.
Yes, he does, or he pretends to when he's really out fighting.
Where have you ever seen video of hot chicks jumping in a hole?
I'm sure I can YouTube it now.
I bet you can.
Anyways, I guess with that we can move into our feature review this week.
But I haven't talked about this trailer yet.
Fine though.
I'm sorry. Go on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have one word to say about this trailer.
But this one has Adrian Brody in it. How can you not like this trailer?
Right.
Yes, one word from me is orientated.
You said that already.
Yes, I know. But I wanted to say it again.
Oh.
Because...
can you be reorientated? Or unorientated?
Apparently. If one can orientate, one can clearly be orientated.
Is it multiple orientates?
I'm sure when Douglas watches movies with the mentally challenged in it, he sits down and he just laughs his ass off at their language skills.
I spot irregularities in movies all the time.
You know what's funny?
And harp on them. Because it is funny when some movies dream of, when they say things and do things that is clearly nonsensical, all you can do is laugh at them.
No, but truly.
Orientated,
though.
Really? No one caught that? No one said.
You know what, though? Hold on. Before you say that. Before you say that, right? I actually tweeted on Twitter. I said, did you.
Where
really
else
say,
did you tweet?
Oh, shut up. Did he really say orientate? And I actually got a response, not on Twitter, but Buzz, because my Buzz is linked in with the Twitter. And the guy was like, yeah, that's something a Spanish speaker would say. And so it kind of makes sense.
Because it's machete thing.
Exactly, I don't know. But anyway, that all said, I actually did kind of enjoy this.
I love how nearly any project that Rodriguez is attached to, we find machete in it.
Yep, because this is fucking like first cousin, and he's been in prison. What do you say to the cousin that's been in prison? Okay? He comes up to prison. And he's fucking like, he can't put his hands down. He has to walk like this.
I actually didn't know he was in prison.
He can't drink soup.
Motherfucker, put me in your picture. And you know, Rodriguez, he's not a small guy, but come on, compared to Machete.
He put him in Spy Kids, though.
Awesome. He put him in Spy Kids, really?
I know he was in at least two of them. I don't know if he was in all three.
I remember him from the first Spy Kids.
Oh, he was in the first one? Okay, so he was in all of them.
I haven't seen any of those, so I wouldn't know. Wow.
You don't need to.
Yeah, I don't think I need to.
Antonio Banderas.
Anyways, are we moving on now?
In the hot tub.
To Damien's pick this week. Mm-hmm. The film that we're going to review, A Prophet, Un Prophet.
Tu bouffes. C'est à cause de moi. Si tu rêves, si tu penses, si tu vis, c'est à cause de moi.
I will start off, yes?
Yes, yes. Yes.
Okay, so this movie is about...
A prophet.
A prophet.
Yes, it is.
In a prison.
Mm-hmm.
With Corsicans?
Yes.
Okay, I don't know anything else.
Because Douglas didn't watch it.
Why is that?
No, listen, I watched the first hour, mm-hmm. right? And
then passed out drunk.
I watched the first, actually more like an hour and a half, and I really did enjoy the hour and a half that I watched. But I don't really want to say anything more because, you know, I need to get the full...
It gets better.
Yeah, okay. So you guys talk
about it. Andrew.
Do I have to go first?
Yes. Already, kind of.
First of all, did you remember what I told you last week when you talked about this movie?
Oh, by the way, Godfather, really?
Yeah.
No.
Not yet.
That's all I have to say to you. Like, I'm not telling you this movie's bad. Don't get me wrong. I can't say that. That's impossible. But you set a... an insane bar, David.
Yes, I did.
This movie does not hit that bar at all.
Wrong. So very wrong.
Like, I mean, I want to give it the benefit of the doubt because watching it, I kind of felt like if I watched it again, I'd love it even more. Because I've only watched it once at this point. To this point, I wanted to watch it again before the podcast, but I didn't have enough time. I waited too long.
You're busy being unemployed. I know this.
Thank you. I mean, I had to go and get a check from downtown. What was I saying? Un Prophet. Squirrel. But that one still works. I really didn't get into loving this film up until around the 2 hour mark for me. Like, I mean, it felt like it was just kept building up to this point. And I don't want to give too much away, but towards the last half an hour of this movie, there's an assassination. And that scene, that whole occurrence was just fantastic. Like, we've seen crazy-ass assassinations like in Scarface and all sorts of mob movies that we love. But this one might just take the cake. Like, that was just awesome.
But Scarface had chainsaw.
Douglas, be quiet.
Chainsaw!
I love the character and I loved how he interacted with Luciani. Is that his name? Yeah. The Italian dude. One thing that kind of I didn't like that much, or maybe it was just that I didn't notice it, mm-hmm. about this film, like, it's a foreign film, subtitled.
Mm-hmm.
It has many languages in it.
Yes, it does.
Four languages. We had seen Inglourious Basterds, which also has numerous languages in it. But for some reason during Inglourious Basterds, it was a lot more noticeable for me whenever they switched languages. In this film, I really couldn't tell that quickly whenever they were switching languages. And it kind of hurt, especially in certain scenes where you could tell that there were two people talking, but 10 people in the room, and only those two should really understand what's going on. But because I'm obviously only an English speaker, it was kind of odd for me when I was watching it. So you kind of have to pay really close attention to the language.
I think they could have done more with the subtitles as well to take help that transition, like change the font depending on the language that was being
or they could
spoken
just
or
say
colored.
French, English.
No, but then I mean a lot. There's parts, especially in the beginning, there's parts where they couldn't have done that because it would have been a dead giveaway what was happening.
Another thing I really liked, but I want to go back and see exactly how it played fully into the film, because I'm not. I saw the obvious play for it, the prophet deal, with his dreams, which I thought was really cool, because it had this tunnel vision feeling to it whenever he was in a dream and you were seeing what he was experiencing. And it was kind of interesting, but at the same time, as I said, I want to look back at it again to see fully how that those things helped the story properly, other than the obvious. Overall, it is a really great film. It's probably, I think, it's the only one of the Oscar nominated foreign films from last year. It won.
No, it didn't.
It didn't?
No.
Which one?
Other crazy. Oh,
wasn't it was Milk of Sorrow.
Right.
I also want to watch. It's the only one I've seen. I guess I'd give it the win because it's the only one I've seen. But
and from
to
what
say
I've heard,
to say that
Milk
it's
of Sorrow should not
Godfather-like or The Wire, no. Other right. than the fact that it deals with the mob. Right. And I also really liked that it was only his prison sentence for the full film. I thought going in that it would be like, oh, the prison is the intro, and then eventually he gets out and he does madness. Right. It was really cool to see that.
Bastard.
Spoiler. Yeah. Yeah, the movies. You don't even bother watching that this one. It's ruined. It's completely. Alright. So, I need to ask you one more question. What was the first Godfather? What was it that that drew you into the Godfather? Alright?
For me, it was possibly the first mob mafia film. Which treated the mob and the mafia like a through and through business/family. You could see the intersects, the overlaps, and where decisions were made and how it worked out perfectly and how everything was fine, and the Corleone name. And in this film, it's there, but it wasn't as prominent or as good to me as The Godfather was.
Fair enough. So in terms of that aspect, fine. What I took away from The Godfather, and the reason why I love The Godfather and The Wire as much, is because they provided a window into a life that I didn't truly understand. Because you know that there's people, there's the mob, and you know how the mob operates, they kill people and whatever, but you don't know the inner workings, how things get done. And The Godfather provided a window into that. The Wire did the same. The Wire, every season they showed you a different view. And this movie does the same thing. But it shows you how people get things done from within the prison structure. Because a lot of people go to prison and they say, how is it that they're still getting this and this done? You know that them having people killed and whatever. And you say, yeah, the guards corrupt and whatever. But this movie provided such a realistic portrayal, such a vivid portrayal of what it is like for people who go into prison and what it takes for, you know, things to get done, how because they ran the prison inside the prison like a business, much like The Godfather, and just the relationships that had to be maintained and how they managed to tell a story about this one person, but not really about that one person. It was larger than him, but they used him as the medium to tell the story about how prison life is, and not only in a country that I could understand, because I could relate it to Jamaica, but they were able to do it with other factors that I didn't even consider. I didn't consider how race plays, especially not Arabs versus
Italians.
Didn't see that. I mean, I didn't see that coming at all. I know the Italians, you know, they're mob people, but
those are some racist motherfuckers.
Arabs, you know, they're big in drugs, and just to say that, you know, at the end of the day, it's a business. Money talks.
Green is the color,
right? And everyone can get along as long as there's me. And they even say it at one point in the film. You're just here. You're just the guy. Looks at him and says, "You're just doing this. You're just trying to use me." And he's like, "Yeah, but as long as we're both benefiting, why is there?
What's the problem?"
He's laughing, right? And to see this huge transition and his acting too is so. I mean, this dude is phenomenal. Anything that he and this director is in, have to watch 100%. Because his transition from this punk bastard at the start of the film to the Don at the end is just so phenomenal.
No, it's just a metaphor, it's not literal.
You watch an hour and a half of the movie. Don't look at me like that. What the hell do you think was going to happen? He was going to get stabbed halfway through. Like, oh. What are we going to do for the next hour? It's the funeral. I mean, everything in this movie felt so grounded in reality. And not only were they able to tell this great story, but they were able to meld it with also one of the best action scenes I've seen in a mob movie in a long, long time. The scene that Andrew's talking about, when you see it, you cannot believe that they were able. Like, you just...
How they designed that exactly. Sequence is just...
It is so good. And there's nothing like that. There's nothing like that in the Godfather movies. When there's actions, it scenes in the Godfather, they play out how you expected them to play out. Right? It's kind of cut and dry. They put them there to emphasize the brutality of what it is that the family does. But this scene is, I mean, it does that and does it by just how the scene was done. This movie, from top to bottom. And when you watch it again, you'll understand. And when the Blu-ray comes out, you'll further understand. The attention to detail with the set, they even, like, the dude hired actual criminals to be all the surrounding people in the prison, real criminals. They actually were in prison. None of those dudes are.
By the way, I actually felt like that was a really odd prison in general. Like, I mean, not even talking about corruption in the prison, you know, just like, if you notice how things are going on, like, the guards aren't letting people in and out of cells or sections. The prisoners are generally just like, open the gate, please. You're like, okay. And you just walk around like they own the place, as opposed to anything else. And I mean, I've read about situations where prisoners have been given days out and stuff like that from prison.
Yeah.
But it felt odd to actually see it in a movie for once. Like, to see, you're kind of alrightish, I guess. Maybe you can go out and have some fun for a day.
He's learning something. He learned.
Like,
said you were acting like a skank.
I mean, herein lies my one question, because I kind of get this feeling with how people are talking about this film. Last year, the film that people were talking about in the same vein was Gomorrah. And we spoke about that film last year. And I remember that I had my qualms. Douglas,
it was good, but not great.
Like, do you feel that, like, people who talk about Gomorrah, like, pretend that Gomorrah is the greatest thing since The Godfather, do you tell them, shut up and watch Unprofit, or if you...
Yeah, that's exactly what I tell them. I tell them that this movie is better. I understand where I understand people loving Gamora, because Gamora was really good. It was really good, but there's portions of that movie that shouldn't have been in the movie. They took some of it. Some of it just wasn't necessary to the story that they were trying to tell. And by the end of the movie, there were so many threads that some just weren't able to come together.
Mm-hmm.
And so the movie felt like it should have been longer, and at the same time, should have been shorter. If you understand what I say.
I get you.
But this movie,
they should have paid more attention to certain things and thrown out the rest.
Right. But this movie is clearly the director knew exactly what it was that he was aiming for, and he got some performances here that were just stellar. I mean, even the his best friend, the guy's best friend who had the cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Right? His acting was tremendous, and they even found ways to put jokes in it. Like the dude's like, "What's his sign? Cancel." I mean, what? And I like how he used the dream sequences to break up the intensity, because all of those dream sequences came after a point where everything was so intense. The intensity was right at the top. It was at the knife edge. You're like, "What the hell is going to happen?" The dude, life was in danger.
Dream sequences.
Gillian would be prone.
Yes, there are.
Midgets.
No. No midgets.
Midgets.
This is what Douglas. This is what Douglas brings to the conversation about unprofit midgets.
Instead of watching the movie. You need to watch the movie again. Billy, I've seen this movie.
You know what I also.
Times at this point.
You know what I really liked about it as well. Another thing we didn't mention. I loved how throughout the movie, like, this happens within the first like half an hour, and you see it in the trailer, he kills this dude Reynard,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And throughout the movie he has him haunting him in prison, and it's just like from time to time whenever you see him, it's really interesting to see how they portray him,
like when he's smoking and the smoke comes out the side of his neck and he's like, that's disgusting. Like, I mean,
second Sin City.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually. I mean, there's just so many things that are done. So, things that shouldn't have worked in this movie still work. And the movie is just so good. I've not seen anything close to this since The Godfather in terms of a movie.
So, the one question I had about this film really was the ending.
Mm-hmm.
When you see him leave prison.
Right.
Right? What happens, I kind of question as to whether, like, the Don status is there.
Yeah.
But I was questioning as the way he reacted to what was happening, as to whether he was like, okay, I'm done with prison, I'm done with that, or it's like, it's like you can see the question, you can see the view that I'm taking on this.
Right,
it definitely looks
right.
Like it could be there, but
right.
It looks like it might be like that, kind of.
No, definitely. Like the final shot of the movie just proves that is clearly not where it is going to go.
And also, what I loved about the final moment was the song that was playing.
The music in this.
The music. Did you know who did the music? Did you see it in the credits? It was Alexander Desplat who did the music for Fantastic Mr. Fox as well.
That's good. So.
I don't even know who did this. Who?
I mean, where did that come from?
The entire score for this.
The song during the ending scene and throughout the beginning of the credits was Jack the Knife, and I don't know this version of Jack the Knife. I know a lot of versions of Jack the Knife.
Jack the Knife? Do you mean Mac the Knife?
Oh shit, Mac the Knife. Sorry.
No, I just really wasn't sure. I said, maybe a lot of versions.
Jack the Knife.
Just Jack that dude's knife. Mac the Knife, and I mean everyone knows that's a song about a mob boss, mob guy, assassin, and I was wondering if that was actually Alexandre Desplat doing his own rendition of that song. I don't know. But it was a really cool version, and it was a nice touch to the mob film that this was.
I just love how, I think there's three songs that are
standout
in English.
Oh, in English?
In English. And they don't feel out of place at all, at any point. Like the Nas song, when I heard that,
it was kind of out of place.
I'm like, what is this song doing? But it fit the overall movie. You might have thought it's out of place, but you're wrong.
It fit. I liked it.
You, sir, are wrong.
It worked for a while.
Alright, so here is a question. Here is the infamous question that you have to ask at this point.
Sure.
Would it break the top 10?
For?
Of 09, your 09 top 10.
I mean, I'd have been throwing shit up. Crazy. Honestly, this movie would probably be my number one movie of the year. It would have been, like, hands down, number one.
I have to say this would break into the top 10, but not definitely not. I don't know if it would break the top 5.
I'm glad that this I saw this movie.
Something would have kicked funny people out of my top 10.
I mean, this movie, like, people, everyone needs to see this movie. You may not like it as much as me, but I am guaranteeing that you love this movie.
And to all of you out there who don't like to read, I'm sure eventually when the DVD comes out, there'll be a dub track on it and you'll hate it.
People who don't like to read, they all read something, whether it's comic books or shitty magazines.
You know, those people who complain whenever there's subtitles.
It's so sad. I mean, I always say I know when a movie is great when time disappears. And every time I watch this, the movie is 2.5 hours long, and I've never felt that. Like, every time I finish watching the movie, I'm like, start looking around like, shh, gone. I mean, completely disappears. I've seen this movie one time. Like, I was watching with my mother, then my sister came home, and straight into another movie. Like, I mean, and didn't feel tired or...
I wish I could get my mother to watch these kinds of movies.
The movie's so good. I love this movie so much.
She's one of those people who don't like to read during movies.
I'm so glad that this movie is not going to be on this year's list. I don't get some things out of the way. Just like Hurt Locker. I had an excuse last year. I don't have an excuse this year.
Anyways, and with that, we can end the show. So, good night and all. This is Andrew.
This is Damien. And this drunk bastard is Douglas.
This is Andrew.
It's not his fault.
You can find the podcast on gmanreviews.com, on iTunes, through our RSS feed, and through the podcast alley. Leave us reviews. That'd be really nice of you. You can find all my writings at gmanreviews.com. gmanreviews.com, collider.com, and thefilmstage.com, and you can find me on Twitter at gmanreviews. Damon's on Twitter. His name is
at soccer jersey.
Apparently Douglas is on Twitter. Your name is,
it's DJR, lost his name.
I hope people are actually sending tweets to add soccer jersey, and the person is just confused.
Actually, there have been a couple.
There have been some where I've seen people put add soccer jersey in it. But I think soccer jersey is actually a store thing, so. And with that, good night. Talk to y'all later.
Old shark has pretty deep, dear. And he shows them very white, just a jackknife as McGee did. And he keeps it out of sight when the shark bites with his teeth dear. Scarlet billows start to spread. Fancy gloves though.